Our reading today is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. I invite you to listen for what God may be saying to us today. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in God and God in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. And those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. So the commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. In her latest book, the popular author Anne Lamott describes how, during a particularly tough period in life, she came across this first letter of John. Now, she admits she's paraphrasing here because what we just heard was a bit of a mouthful. But Anne Lamott writes that 1 John says this: reach out to people and don't be a jerk. Reach out to people and don't be a jerk. This pithy summary not only describes John's first letter, but it could be said it describes the entire Christian life. If only it were that simple, right? I think the fact that John needed to write two more letters as follow-up proves to us that it is not that easy. And so, as Pastor Nanette shared with us last week, the author of 1 John writes to a community torn apart by conflict. Some members of the community have walked out, and while I will not be so bold as to call them jerks, it sounds like they weren't particularly loving on their way out the door. And so John writes to those who remain, the folks who have chosen to stick with this little community of Jesus followers, ordinary people just trying to do the best they can to follow Jesus' example. And this way, John assures them, when Jesus returns to earth, which they think will happen any day now, they can greet Jesus unashamed, confident that they have been living in the best possible way. And that way, John tells us, is the way of love. John is so sure of this that he uses the word love 27 times in today's passage alone. It seems like every day I'm reading yet another article decrying the lack of love, the lack of civility in our world. And I listen to friends who tell me about this culture of unkindness that has infiltrated their workplace or their group of friends. And I trick myself into imagining that this kind of meanness is new, something maybe brought on by technology or social media. It's easy to imagine that there used to be some kind of a golden age of politeness, a time where seldom was heard a discouraging word. And if we worked hard, we could just return to those good old days. But this letter reminds us, human conflict has been around as long as there have been humans. And so what do we do with all this conflict? We keep on reaching out. We keep on loving. And we are able to love because God first loved us. Friends, this is the key right there. This is the key to John's letter and perhaps for our own time. John writes of love with the Greek word agape. It's the highest form of love. Agape love is unconditional, sacrificial, it's gracious and charitable. It's the love that God has for people and that we have for God. It's not romantic love. It's not brotherly love. The Bible has words for those too. But only this word agape captures the kind of love that God has for us. Because agape love is the story of the Bible from the very beginning. God loves, and then God creates. God doesn't create and then stand back and look around and wait to see if creation is worthy of love. God simply declares all of creation good. And when it comes to humans, God declares us very good. And then God reaches out with love again and again. God doesn't just show up and wait for us to earn that love. Imagine what that would look like if we felt like we had to just put our best foot forward, if we had to perform for God every day in order to prove that we're worthy. We could never be our truest selves. And we certainly couldn't be the people that God created us to be. And I feel like this is true in our interactions with each other as well. When we don't know if we're loved or even liked or appreciated, we're not going to bring our best selves to the table. How could we? If life is like an anxious performance trying to prove that we're worthy of love, how are we ever going to be our truest selves? So let's remember, Jesus looks at us, at you, and loves us, loves you. And that makes all the difference. Sometimes when I preach, I'm kind of preaching to myself, trying to remind myself of the things that I need or the places where I might have fallen short. And I recall a time that I served a church that was dealing with a lot of conflict. Imagine that, in a church. I found myself at odds with a colleague who I believed was making a choice that would endanger our congregation's safety. So there were big stakes. And once this situation came to my attention, I just got right on it. Flurry of phone calls and emails trying to fix this problem. But before too long, I realized that my actions were embarrassing my colleague. He was angry, resentful. And so I took a deep breath, stepped back, and I realized two things. Number one, I was right. Number two, It didn't matter because I was being a jerk. And so, yes, the issue of church safety was essential, but I realized the more that I was hammering away at the problem, the more self-righteous and insufferable I was becoming. So I backed off. I found a different path forward, a path that involved my colleague and didn't allow me to throw him under the bus. I had to sacrifice a little pride in the process. But in the end, I strengthened my relationship with this sibling in Christ. Because how could I possibly say I love God and then treat him in such a disdainful way? It was messy. But what better place to work through the messiness than right here in church? Because in today's reading, John addresses the church as agaptoi. And there's that word again, agape, agaptoi, beloved. John writes, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. And so we come to this place to experience that love. And only then can we go out and share it with the world. We don't come here because we have it all figured out. Church is like a kind of spiritual gymnasium, a place we come to exercise those muscles of kindness, patience, curiosity, and love. We practice following Jesus, and if it's messy, we just keep practicing. Because as my son's first grade teacher used to say, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes progress. Anne Lamont shares one more amazing story, a story of a friend that illustrates this well. This friend was part of a church, and the pastor of this tiny little church put a notice in the church newsletter saying, "I'm starting a radical Jesus group. If you're interested, show up." So 20 people came. They sat in a circle, and the pastor announced that she wanted to follow the radical Jesus, he of service and reckless love, and she was going to need others to do this with her. But she didn't quite know what it was going to look like. And so they brainstormed, and some said they needed a homeless shelter in the church basement. Another suggested that there was this nearby radio station spewing hate, and so they should counter with a pride festival. Still others said that they needed to convert the church to solar power so they could take better care of God's creation. Everyone was filled with ideas. But when they were done, the pastor said, "This is all good stuff, but I feel exhausted. Your ideas seem to spring from anger and despair, and I don't know what we're going to do. So why doesn't everybody pray about it, and we'll come back next week?" So the next week, people came back, but now they'd had time to prepare their arguments, why the group should do one thing and shouldn't do another. And by the end of the session, the pastor said she was already regretting her plan for a radical Jesus group. And then someone suggested, "Maybe we should be radical Jesus to each other before we go out and help the world." The pastor jumped on this. She asked everyone to go home, pray for what they needed, and ask God how this radical Jesus of crazy compassion could help. So the next week, only 10 came back. But they came with requests. One said she struggled with her health. She wanted to lose some weight, and she thought that maybe taking a walk every morning would help her feel better. Would someone walk with her? Two women raised their hands. Another said she loved to host people in her home, but the last time she had, she forgot that her guests were vegan and gluten-free. She was so embarrassed, she hesitated to have anybody over again. Would someone be willing to come to her house for dinner? Yes, please. Every hand went up. Anne Lamont's friend admitted he was spiraling out of control with workaholism and distraction. He needed someone to sit and pray with him. He knew he wouldn't bring himself to do it unless another person sat with him in the silence and just let God love him. The pastor took him up on this one. She called him every week to invite herself over. And he'd say, "Well, I got a lot going on, deadlines, etc. I don't think I can do it today." And the pastor would say, "You asked me to hold you accountable, so I'm going to come over anyway, and I will just sit on your porch." Anne writes, "And he met her on the porch, and it was gorgeous." And here's the thing. After the members had been caring for each other for a while, the original dreams came true. They remodeled the church basement to create showers for the unhoused. They started a soup kitchen. They went solar, and they helped to start a pride parade for the town. Funny how this love business works, Anne concludes. Funny indeed. Friends, reach out, love, repeat, amen.